World's on fire, our culture's disintegrating.
Hey, pass the salt.
It's time. It's time.
Hey, you, pass the salt.
You know what, why it's disintegrating? Because we're jellyfish.
Hey, pass the salt, will you?
Pass the salt.
Pass the salt, amigo.
It's time. It's time.
I think they could give us a new name. I believe we are Evan Jellyfish.
Hey, will you pass the salt?
Pass the salt.
We need salt over here.
It's time for Pass the Salt.
Pass the salt.
But we like to share the gospel without any backbone to it, see?
The views, opinions, and seemingly outrageous comments expressed in this program are based on the Holy Spirit leading of a man called Coach.
I gotta ask you this out there, Christian America.
It's time for Pass the Salt with a Coach, Dave Dobenmeyer.
Well, Coach, you said yesterday you weren't going to be here. Well, I wasn't. Flight got delayed. Praise the Lord, I was supposed to fly into San Francisco, and I don't have to go into that crummy city, thank God. We had thunderstorms here. The thunderstorms all across the Midwest yesterday, so probably the plane that I was going to get on probably didn't make it to town. So they rerouted me. They stuck me back a few hours, and I'm going to be able to be here for a part of the show, and then I'm going to turn it over to Mike Heath and Mark and Matt Siskavich. How am I doing on that, Matt? I'm getting better at that, aren't I, Siskavich? I'm getting better. I'm learning to say that word. And I got a few things I want to lay on the table here before I take off today and traveling to Oregon. Don't know if I've driven into Oregon. I was out visiting my friend Tom Munns in Idaho. Idaho, out where he lives, Caldwell, Idaho, is pretty close, within an hour of the border. So I just drove across the Oregon border one time, so I stick my toe over there and said, yeah, I've been to Oregon, but this is really my first real shot at being there. Looking forward to it. Chad's joining me as well. Chad's flight didn't get delayed, so he's not going to be in here with us today. And I'll meet up with him and Tim Tuber, and we're going to have a grand old time. I want to talk about a couple things here real quickly. Again, I'm kind of under a little bit of time crunch. We're going to talk about the Equal Justice Tour again and our need. Folks, listen, I was blown away last night again. Doug Hagman is so in on this thing, man. He is so in. He dedicated the first hour last night to Hillary's crimes again. You gotta go there and listen to it. And not only that, he continually mentioned Equal Justice Tour. He says, folks, this is why you got to get involved. This is where you go. This is what you got to do. In fact, are you ready for this one, boys and girls? He says that he has a, how do I say this without sounding, I just got to say it. Doug has contacts that you and I don't have. Doug has deep contacts that you and I don't have. And he said that those in the White House are watching us very closely. And what was it they're saying in the White House? They need grassroots support. And so they're watching what we're doing very, very closely. And I believe it. All of you that laughed when I said I was going to go to Chappaqua, that we needed to go to Chappaqua, that we needed Hillary Clinton was the target. All of you that laughed, praise God, from whom all blessings flow. I'm heading to Oregon today. Tim Tuber's got an event going out there. I'm not going to talk a whole lot about it. Jerry, maybe you can pull it up there for us real quickly. And anybody that's out in that West Coast area, we're going to be out there all day Friday and Saturday, and we'd love to meet you. Love Tim's organizing a huddle out in that way. And I'm not going to say anything controversial. So Jared's probably got it up on the screen there. I haven't found it down here yet. Let me go down here. Look, I'll look up on the big one that Vic gave me. Yeah, there you go. And if you scroll down a little bit on that, there's Tim Tuba's email, Stand for What You Believe. There's where it's going to be. Stand for What You Believe in gmail.com. And we're going to be there. Cool. Looking forward to that. And then looking forward to getting back to my wife and getting to know her again. Mark Trump, God bless Mark Trump. What a warrior Mark Trump is. He came to all hands on deck. The whole time he was here, he kept complaining about his stomach. So I got this gurgling in my stomach, it won't go away. And I feel bad because my sweet little wife said to me, honey, you think that's appendicitis? Well, Mark didn't say it was on the side. He said it was kind of in the middle. And appendicitis tends to settle one side or the other. I got up yesterday and he couldn't bear the pain anymore. And he went to the VA hospital, and I think he's in Richmond, although I could be wrong. And had his appendix removed. They had, last I'd heard, they had burst. When that happens, man, that's some serious stuff. But evidently, I got a story to tell on that. I won't tell it now. evidently it was okay. They got in, got the stuff out, and praise God, they're probably going to send Mark home today. If not today, home tomorrow for what we pray is going to be a speedy recovery. And Vic, I know that you wanted to come in and say something in the pre-show. You'd mentioned something. Give you a chance now, Vic.
Yeah, Coach. It's a testimony that Mark, he's being tempered by the Lord, yet yes. He's being covered by the blood of the Lamb, because he came, he participated, he was watching your six, keeping Michelle Davis off of you, and then he came.
Don't mention that name. Go ahead.
Sorry. You know who. So then she comes down there. We go to the vineyard, and Mark is there too. And you know, I mean, he's participating in every aspect of everything that we do, in spite of the pain. He's being tempered. He goes and he has the blood of the Lamb on him. When we pray, he goes back home, and when he goes back home, he makes it safely. Praise be to God. This is a testimony of a man that is obedient and faithful. Thank you, Lord.
Amen.
Thank you for
God bless Mark Trump. And you know, he's struggling financially. I hate to say not struggling financially. Mark has a multi-million dollar brain, and they have a lot of people want to hire him. But Mark said, I do not want to work for a company. I want to be independent. I want to serve the Lord full time and do this other stuff part time so I can feed my family, take care of my obligations. And he's really, really swallowed hard a couple times. He had some great job offers, and he didn't take him because he doesn't want to be full time. So I'm not going to do that. I want to serve the Lord. So he is being tempered, and he is being stretched, and just continue to lift up Mark in prayer. I want to buzz through a couple things here because I'm going to turn it over to Mike Heath here at some point, and Matt Siskavich. Are you there, Matt? Did I say that right? I've struggled with that thing forever.
Yeah, now, you're doing great with that, Coach. It's much better than.
I got you. Shut up, man. I got it. I'm on a run. Hey, I got a show that I show off. You probably shouldn't do this. I had that heart attack issue a couple weeks ago. So now I got to get on the plane today. They call it a heart. You ready? I hate to gross you out. Look at me today. I got look at this. I got to be like that for 2 weeks. I'll set that machine off in the airport. This TSA agent. Oh Lord, God's good, isn't he? God is so good. Hey, I got a couple things.
Coach, yeah. That cavity search is going to be hell. I can tell you.
What's that, bud?
I said that cavity search is going to be hell at the airport.
Oh my goodness, my goodness! I'm trying to figure out whether to put on clean underwear or not, Vinny. I don't know. Hey, listen, I just get little things all the time that encourage me. We're all after this equal justice tour, and I'm going Mike's going to talk about that here in a second. And Matt, they're going to get in and dive in here really, really deeply. And again, listen to Doug Hagman because he's all over it. I got about three things I want to share with you real quickly before I turn it over to Mike. Hey, Jared, click on Paula White's prayer. I don't know if you guys saw this or not. At Trump's thing down in Florida the other night, Paula White was called on to lead to do an invocation. And I don't know if you guys got a chance to see this. This is 5 minutes. This was unbelievable. And you listen to this prayer, and you – so I wonder if Paula White's been listening to us. Now, that's Erica. Ha, 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 Coach. We have the same daddy, evidently. Because this prayer – I want you to think back when Obama was in office. He talked about some obscure book in Romans or some obscure scripture in Romans, and we're not a Christian nation and all that stuff. Think back to fake George W. Bush and his fake – Billy Graham Christianity. I know I'm making some of you mad. That's okay. Just telling you the truth here today. We go back to Billy Clinton, who said he was born again, and Jimmy Carter said he was born again, and Renato Magnus, Ronald Reagan. And I want to ask yourself, if you've ever seen, when this thing is done, if you've ever heard anything like this at any presidential political rally ever, ever, ever in your life, ever in your life. And you tell me, well, go ahead, Jared. Play this. This is unbelievable. Paula White's prayer at Trump's rally.
Good evening. Are you ready for a great night of victory? I'm going to ask you to do something. As our president often says, and I've had the wonderful privilege of having an 18-year relationship with him and his family, he says, we worship God, not government. So we're going to start out. I'm going to ask you to grab that person's hand next to you, if you don't mind standing up all over this beautiful arena, and just grab that sweaty hand that you've been holding. I believe in the power of unity. And as we begin to make declarations and come to the Father in prayer, Father, I come to you in the name of Jesus. And first and foremost, I give you thanks for our great United States. I give you thanks for our president and for your blessings and your goodness. Your word declares in Psalm chapter 34, verse 1, that I will bless the Lord at all times, and his praise shall continually be in my mouth. So we thank you and we bless you, God, for your goodness, for your grace, for your mercy. I pray for the Spirit of the Lord to rest upon our president. And let your favor cause his horn, his power, to be exalted according to Psalm chapter 89, verse 17. Lord, your word says in Psalm chapter 2, verse 1 through 4, why do the nations conspire and the peoples plot in vain? The kings of the earth rise up and the rulers band together.
She's quoting Psalm 2. How many times have you heard Psalm 2 here? Go ahead.
Against the Lord and against his anointed. Saying, let us break their chains and throw off their shackles. The one enthroned in heaven laughs. The Lord scoffs at them. Father, you have raised President Trump up for such a time as this. You are a God that reveals secrets. So reveal the secret and the deep things to President Trump according to Daniel chapter 2, verse 22. Make known unto him the mystery of your will. I declare that skillful and godly wisdom have entered into the heart of our president, and knowledge is pleasant to him. Father, we ask you to compass him with men and women and make their heart and ears attentive to godly counsel, to do that which is right in your sight. Now, I need you to really go with me here. Let every evil veil of deception of the enemy be removed from people's eyes in the name which is above every name, the name of Jesus Christ. For you said in your word, so I'm going to deal with some principalities now, okay? Because you said in your word in Ephesians chapter 6, verse 12, that we're not wrestling against flesh and blood, but against principalities, powers, against rulers of darkness of this world, against spiritual wickedness in high places. So right now, let every demonic network that has aligned itself against the purpose, against the calling of President Trump, let it be broken. Let it be torn down in the name of Jesus. Let the counsel of the wicked be spoiled right now, according to Job chapter 12, verse 17, I declare that President Trump will overcome every strategy from hell and every strategy of the enemy, every strategy, and he will fulfill his calling and his destiny. Destroy and divide their tongues, O Lord, according to Psalm chapter 55, verse 9. Give President Trump strength to bring forth his destiny, according to Isaiah chapter 66, verse 9. Let the secret counsel of wickedness be turned to foolishness right now in Jesus' name. And I declare that no weapon formed against him, his family, his calling, his purpose, this council will be able to be formed. Now I declare that you will surround him and protect him from all destruction. Let the angel of the Lord encamp around about him, around his family, according to Psalm chapter 34, verse 7. Establish him in righteousness and let oppression be far from him, according to Isaiah 54:14. I deploy the hand of God to work for him in the name of Jesus. I secure his calling. I secure his purpose. I secure his family. And we secure victory in the name which is above every name, the name that has never failed for this nation and for my life, the name of Jesus Christ. And everybody said, amen.
Was that unbelievable?
Wow.
Huh?
Unbelievable.
Unbelievable, man. You know, I've been critical of Paula White in some areas, but my goodness. My goodness, she had the courage to do it. She had the courage to speak the truth without compromise. Most of those people didn't have any idea what the heck she was praying about. But where have you heard something about Psalm 2?
And well, the we hear
from counsel against the Lord and his anointed, huh? Wow. Wow. So I had to throw that in there real quick. And then, Jared, if you could, pull up. I'm going to move out of here in a minute, Mike. Hang on here. Jared, pull up Homo Nauseous, because I'm this will come to all of you. I want you all to – I want to tell a little story about this. This is my commentary for this week. My weekly word is, as we say when we shoot out on our website, is anyone else Homo Nauseous? Folks, look, I'm not going to read this. This commentary was originally written in 2007. Think about that. I wrote this 12 years ago. Last week, I attended the Homo Pride in Columbus, Ohio, and felt it was appropriate to republish it. These deviants are on the verge of ruling America. I'm sick of it. I really am. I'm not homophobic. I'm not hateful. Homo hateful. I'm not homo latent. I'm homo nauseous. I really couldn't care less where a man desires to put his sexual appendage. But I'm sick of hearing about it. I'm sick of talking about it. I'm sick of being force-fed to me on TV. In all my life, I've never seen such deviancy so openly celebrated. They're deviant, you know. No matter how many names they try to call me, no matter how many sensitivity classes they try to send me to, no matter how much tolerance they try and cram down my throat, sorry, fact remains, homosexuals are deviant. Deviant is one that differs from a norm, especially a person whose behavior and attitudes differ from accepted social standards. Homosexual behavior is a deviant lifestyle. Everyone knows that. So in order to make themselves look normal, the homosexual movement's doing everything that it can to make social standards to change social standards. They can't feel good about themselves, so they must make sure we feel good about them. Well, I'm sick of it. I'm homo nauseous. The homosexual movement is making me sick. I understand what I'm opening myself up to. It happens every time I take on this subject. My emails will be flooded by those who are concerned that I must secretly be battling homo feelings. I need to get over my homophobia and that Jesus would not be so judgmental. And that is just from the Christians. You couldn't stomach what the sodomites say about me. Hey, I'm used to it. It comes with the turf. But I thought the homosexuals were just like everyone else, and all they wanted was to be free to live their lives in peace. If that is the case, why don't they stop identifying themselves with what to do in the privacy of the bedroom? Why are they so intent on making me accept their deviancy? Why are they trying to indoctrinate six-year-olds into their perversion? I'm sick of it. Take your behavior into your house and leave us alone. They're everywhere, these norm changers. They're perverted. I'm sure that makes all you nervous as well. But interesting enough, perverted shows up in the dictionary as a synonym for deviant. Perversion is a person whose behavior deviates from what is acceptable, especially in sexual behavior. That's straight out of the dictionary. It's not right-wing fundamentalist version of the word. It's what the word perverted means. A homosexual lives a deviant, perverted lifestyle. The dictionary says so. So don't blame me. Words have meaning. Here's what the godfather Alfred Kinsey wrote. Perversions are defined as unnatural acts. Acts contrary to nature, bestial, abominable, and detestable. Such laws are interpretable only in accordance with the ancient traditions of the English common law, which is committed to the doctrine that no sexual activity is justifiable unless its objective is procreation. By the way, that's what the Bible says. The only purpose for sex is to have babies. Their behavior and actions are perverted and deviant. Go ahead, call me hateful. I'm only defining the words. What they can do can never be normal, so they must change them into normal. They must alter societal standards. Have you been watching? Their lifestyles, they take their lifestyle to the streets to celebrate their debauchery. Excessive indulgence and sensual pleasures and temperance. That's what it means. Look at these pictures. You don't have to look at them. Their behavior is costing us billions of medical care. Look at the educational material they're force feeding our kids in public schools. They attack anyone who disagrees with them. Remember, they must change societal standards to accept their debaucherous, perverted, deviant lifestyle. They can't change their behavior, so they force you to change yours. The government promotes it. Schools promote it. TV and films are awash with homo stars. Churches are embracing it. Homosexual activists are the real fascists. They're determined to control what you think, believe, and say. They hate free speech. They do all they can to silence men like me. Well, I'm sick of it. Leave me alone. Leave our children alone. Leave our schools alone. Leave our culture alone. What's wrong with the church? Can't they see what's happening in America? Can't they see what's happening to our children? Can't they see that the rug is being pulled out from under them? Isaiah 4, I'm not going to go down to putrefying sorts. For the soul of the foot, even under the head, there is no soundness in it, but wounds and bruises and putrefying sores. Your country is desolate. down at the bottom, but wounds and bruises and putrefying sores. Putrefying refers to the decay of the body of a former living organism into a simpler form of matter. America is dying. It makes me sick. It's time to stand up and fight against this deviancy. Is anyone else homo nauseous? Anybody else homo nauseous out there? Anybody else sick of it?
Everyone says amen.
Yep. Man.
I'm homo nauseous. 2007. Is that unbelievable? Unbelievable. Okay, I'm going to show you one more thing, and then I'm going to turn it over to Mike Heath, and I'm going to have to slip out of here. I've got two things. Jared, go to first of all, says multiculture. Pull that up there real quick, Jared. It's what's going on, folks. This is how they're killing us. I could go to some scriptures. I know, but I don't have time. This is written by Abraham H. Miller. It's very short. I don't even know who he is. Scroll on down. Here it is. There we go. Okay, here we go. Politics is about power, how to get it and how to keep it. Politics is about mobilizing votes. It should come as no surprise that candidates can say one thing one day and another on another day because they will say whatever they need to say to appeal to the electorate. Joe Biden instantly flip-flops on abortion. Barack Obama, Bill Clinton were as much against illegal immigration as Donald Trump was. Hillary Clinton was once against gay marriage. In totalitarian societies, the truth is what the dictator says at any given moment. Jared, underline that. In totalitarian societies, the truth is what the dictator says at any given moment. In democratic societies, the truth is what the mass public wants to hear at any given moment. Democratic societies, the truth is what the public wants to hear. That's the truth. Faced with the outpouring of civil rights demonstrations in American streets, Kennedy said that he needed to get people off the streets, not that he needed to find dignity for the plight of the black Americans. That would come later when it would be palatable to mainstream America. Politics in America is about the competition of interest groups for political power. Once victorious, an interest group does not go away. It escalates and it demands. The civil rights movement started out with demands for basic human dignity. Once those were met, it legitimately demanded equality of opportunity. And once that was achieved, demanded a preference where equality of opportunity was redefined in Orwellian fashion as equality of result. Flush with success, it now demands reparations for those who were never enslaved, who will never receive compensation for those who never owned slaves, all in the name of virtue and justice. By nature, humans are tribal. Tribalism is the easiest way to organize people, mobilize them politically. Till very recently, America was a multi-ethnic society with a dominant culture. The culture is breaking apart as more and becoming more tribal. We begin to think of ourselves in terms of tribal loyalties, blacks, whites, old, rich. Multiculturalism is a great myth of our times. The cliche, our strength is our diversity. But is it? Military officers sent to Vietnam learned the enemy's strength was a homogeneous culture, language, and identity. There's no real multicultural society on the planet that has not tumbled into barbarism or devolution. Whether Lebanon was institutionalized multiculturalism in its constitution and exploded into ethnic warfare, or Rwanda, where tribalism descended into barbarism. Multiculturalism does not work. Switzerlandism is not multicultural. It has different language groups with one strong, unshakable identity. The Swiss know who they are, something we seem to be forgetting. Ask the white farmers who are being hunted in South Africa like animals, with the eager justification of some black political elites, if Nelson and Mandela's vision of the rainbow society is working. Minorities will support the idea of multiculturalism as long as it advances their own interests. Consequently, tribalism, ironically, finds its justification in multiculturalism. In the name of multiculturalism, Muslims want public schools closed on Muslim holidays and halal food in school cafeterias. Somehow, the tribal aspirations of all cultures are legitimate, unless those tribes are white or Christian. In the name of multiculturalism, schools have segregated dormitories, student unions, and even graduations. But imagine if whites wanted to segregate the student union, to have white-only dormitories and graduation. The virtue signals would descend on the campus in an outrage. Muslims in Seattle wanted their public schools greeted with Quranic blessing during Ramadan, but let a dozen Christians stand beneath the flag and say pray silently in the name of Jesus, and one would think the Constitution was being eviscerated. The advocates of affirmative action hiring in the name of diversity almost never seek to hire whites where there is a preponderance of minority employees. Diversity is only good when it means hiring minorities in white-dominated situations, not the other way around. No man or woman wants to be a stranger in their own land, told their culture is illegitimate, or the aspiration of their children must be sidelined because of historic injustices of which they had no part, save that someone with similar skin color was advantaged by them. We're taught it's the essence of bigotry to see the disproportions of black crime and not look beyond race to social and economic factors. But when it comes to the evils of enslavement, all whites are guilty, even those whose ancestors never owned slaves or never stepped foot in America until slavery was long gone. The mobilization of tribal instincts is meant for the elites, especially the identity-obsessed left, to advance the quest for political power. But in politics, as in physics, for every action, there's an equal and opposite reaction. Newton's third law embraces the political world. Do not expect whites to sit idly by and be told their culture is illegitimate and they are responsible for all the evils in the world. Expect that they, too, will be mobilized on the basis of identity. In the end, if we devolve into multicultural society, we will have the same political instability as other multicultural societies. The mobilization of people by identity will create a society that is inherently not viable. It's what the left's myopic obsession with phony multiculturalism and identity politics will bring. Amen, baby.
Hey, Coach.
Yes, sir.
And I'm an African American, quote unquote, but here's a sign in America now: white, Anglo, Protestant, heterosexual males need not apply.
That's it, bud. And it's all about political power, see? You missed this. It's all about grabbing political power.
And it's pathetic, Coach, because, once again, I say white people never had anything to do with slavery. They were trying to escape slavery. That's why they started the United States in the first place. It was brought by Aaron Lopez and his stupid ships.
Amen. Amen. Hey, listen, I got to run here. Jared, pull up the next one, and then I'm going to turn it over to you, Mike. I'm sorry I'm giving you more time. You'll have enough time. Clinton's. Click on Clinton's. Hey, folks, we're over the target. We're over the target, friends. Just for your information, I want to give you this. I've never been able to keep the players and their parts in this mess straight, and no wonder. This best timeline intertwined, the easiest I have read. Term limits really need to be implemented. Here we go. The swamp identified. Let's follow the trail. Everyone needs to read this slowly. Okay, here we go. From 201 to 205, there was an ongoing investigation in the Clinton Foundation. A grand jury had been impaneled. Scrolling down, Jerry. Thank you. Governments from around the world donated to this charity. Yet from 2001 to 2003, none of the donations of the Clinton Foundation were ever declared. You would think that an honest investigator would be able to figure this out, wouldn't you? So who took over the investigation of the Clinton estate in 2002? Why, James Comey. Guess who transferred to the Internal Revenue Service to run the tax-exempt branch of the IRS? Why, that'd be Lois Lerner. Gets better. Well, not really, but this is all just a series of strange coincidences, right? Guess who ran the tax division inside the Department of Injustice from 2001 to 2005? Why, that would be Rod Rosenstein. Guess who was the director of Federal Bureau of Investigation during this time frame? Why, that would be Robert Mueller. Just a coincidence. What do all four casting characters have in common? Well, they were all briefed and were all frontline investigators into the Clinton Foundation investigation. That's just a coincidence, right? Okay, let's chalk that last one up to mere chance. Let's go to 2009. James Comey leaves the Justice Department, goes to cash in at Lockheed Martin. Hillary Clinton's running for the state, is running the State Department on her very own personal email server, by the way. Uranium One issue comes to the attention of Hillary. Like good public servants do, you know, looking out for America's best interests, she decides to support the decision and approve the sale of 20% of our uranium to who? The Russians. Now, you may think this is a fairly straight-up deal, except that it wasn't. The American people got up absolutely nothing. The American people got nothing out of the uranium. No money. We didn't get anything from it. However, prior to the sales, no one other than Bill Clinton went to Moscow, got paid $500,000 for one speech, and then met with Vladimir Putin at his home for a few hours. Okay, no big deal, right? Well, not so fast. The FBI had a mole inside the money laundering and bribery scheme. And guess who was the FBI director during this time? That'd be Robert Mueller. And he even delivered a uranium sample to Moscow in 2009. So guess who was handling the case with the Justice Department of the U.S. Attorney's Office in Maryland? That'd be Rod Rosenstein. Guess what happened to the informant? The Department of Justice placed a gag order on him and threatened to lock him up if he spoke about it. So how does 20% of the most strategic asset of the United States of America end up in Russian hands when the FBI is an informant, a mole providing inside information to the FBI on criminal enterprise? Well, guess what happened soon after the sale was approved? About $145 million in donations made their way into the Clinton Foundation from entities directly connected to Uranium One. Now, guess who was still at the IRS during that time? Yeah, that'd be Lois Lerner. Okay, that's just another coincidence, right? Okay, well, let's go to 2015. Due to a series of tragic events in Benghazi and after the nine investigators, investigation of the House, Senate, and State Department, Trey Gowdy, who is running the 10th investigation as the chairman of the Select Committee on Benghazi, discovers that Hillary Clinton ran the State Department on unclassified, unauthorized personal email server. He also discovered that none of those emails had been turned over when she departed her public service as Secretary of State, which was required by law. He also discovered there was top secret information contained within her personal archive. Let's not forget at least 10 CIA spies in China were killed because of the information that they got from Hillary Clinton. Sparing your State Department cover-up, the nostrums they floated, the delay tactics that were employed, and the outright lies that were spewed from the necks of Kerry's State Department, we shall leave it with this. They did everything humanly possible to cover for Hillary Clinton. Now, this is amazing. Guess who became FBI director in 2013? Hint. He secured 17 no-bid contracts for his employer, Lockheed Martin, with the State Department and was rewarded with a $6 million thank you present when he departed. Why, that would be James Comey. Amazing how those no bids just went right through the state, huh? So he's the FBI director in charge of the Clinton email investigation after, of course, his FBI investigates Lois Lerner matter, IRS, and exonerates her. Nope, we couldn't find any crimes there. So what happened next? In 2016, James Comey drafts an exoneration letter of Hillary Rodham Clinton, something he had no authority to do. Meanwhile, the DOJ is handing out immunity deals like candy. They didn't even convene a grand jury. Like a lightning bolt of statistic and probability, like a miracle from God himself, the true gangster that Comey is, he steps out into the cameras of an awaiting press conference on July 5th, 2016 and exonerates Hillary from any wrongdoing. Do you see a pattern here? It goes on. Rosenstein becomes assistant attorney general. Comey gets fired based on a letter by Rosenstein. Comey leaks government information to the press. Mueller is assigned to the Russian investigation chain by Rosenstein to provide cover for decades of malfeasance within the FBI and the DOJ. And the story continues. FISA abuse, political espionage, pick a crime, any crime. Chances are this group and a few others did bringing new meaning to the term organized crime. All the same players, all compromised, all conflicted, all working fervently to not go to jail themselves, all connected in one way or another to the Clintons. Like battery acid, they corrode and corrupt everything they touch. How many lives have the Clintons destroyed? As of this writing, the Clinton Foundation is 20 plus years of operations of being the largest international charity fraud in the history of mankind, has never been audited by the IRS. Let's not forget that Comey's brother works for the DLA Piper, the law firm that does Clinton's foundation's taxes. That's Comey's brother. And the person that has common denominator all these crimes above, well, while doing her evil escape legal maneuvers at the top of three agencies, yep, that'd be Hillary Clinton. Well, who's Lisa Baruzman? Let's look a little into Lisa H. Baruzman's background. She's a U.S. attorney who graduated from Georgetown Law. She's a protege of James Comey and Robert Mueller. Barsoomian, with her boss Craig Lawrence, represented Bill Clinton in 1998. Lawrence also represented Robert Mueller 3 times, James Comey 5 times, Barack Obama 45 times, Sebelius 56 times, Clinton 40 times, Hillary Clinton 17 times. Between 1998 and 2000, Barsoomian herself represented the FBI at least 5 times. You may be saying to yourself, okay, who cares? Who cares about this? The work of this Barsoomian woman? Apparently someone does, because someone out there cares so much that they've purged all Barsoomian's court documents from her Clinton representation in Hamburg vs. Clinton 1998 and its appeal in 1999. Someone out there cares so much that the internet has been purged of all information containing to Barsoomian. Historically, this indicates that the individual is a protected CIA operative. Additionally, Lisa Barsoomian has specialized in opposing Freedom of Information Act requests on behalf of the intelligence community. And although Barsoomian has been involved in hundreds of cases representing the D.C. Office of the U.S. Attorney, her email address is lisabarsoomian@nih.gov. The NIH stands for National Institutes of Health. Stay with me, about done. This is a tactic routine used by the CIA to protect and operate operatives using another government organization to shield their activities. It's a cover-up, so big deal, right? I mean, what does one more attorney with ties to U.S. intelligence, what does that really mean? Well, it deals with Trump and his recent tariffs on Chinese steel and aluminum imports and a border wall and DACA and everything coming out of California, the uniparty unrelenting opposition to Trump, the Clapper leaks, the Comey leaks, Attorney Jeff Sessions' recusal, and subsequent 14-month nap with occasional forays in the marijuana and legalization mix. And last but not least, Mueller's never-ending investigation into the collusions between the Trump team and the Russians. So why does Barsoomian, CIA operative, not merit any attention? Because she's assistant attorney General Rod Rosenstein's wife. Is that unbelievable?
Mike's amazing, coach.
I'm sorry, I read it so fast. It's amazing. So that's why we're into EqualJusticeTour.com. I'm going to step out here. I had Mike and Matt Siskevich prepare something today to talk a little bit about the Equal Justice Tour and what we need to begin to do. So I'm going to bow out. God bless you all. Mike, I'm sorry I didn't give you more time. We can take some of it tomorrow. But I'll jump in here, man, and let them know what's going on.
No problem, coach. Thank you for that excellent setup. And now I just want to go do you one better. Jared, pull up that YouTube of Donald Trump talking about his love note to Melania. And so Trump is like putting an exclamation point on what Coach just shared with us about all the evil and corruption in Washington, D.C. So if you've got that, Jared, go ahead and play it. I think it's the first one.
Peter. Think of this. If I got a subpoena for emails, if I deleted one email like a love note to Melania, it's the electric chair for Trump. 33,000 emails. But let's see what happens. We now have a great attorney general. Let's see what happens.
That's it, Jared. Thanks. So there you go. And that, I mean, the hypocrisy that's going on right now that is being illustrated by the 3 years and multiple millions of dollars that's been spent trying to bring down this president by the left wing is it's all the chickens are coming home to roost. And coach, in the first part of the show, set us up for that. And for Matt coming on here, Matt, you're on by phone, I think. I see you there. Go ahead and unmute yourself. Coach queued us up perfect, Matt, to talk about the Equal Justice Tour and the website. Jared, before Matt talks, if you have that video that he just sent to me, it's just 2 minutes long. We should look at that. It was someone post-produced it. It's quite good. And it's about Hillary. Jared, do you know the one I'm talking about? It came to us as a Dropbox yesterday. All right, if you could play that, just play that. And then, Matt, when this video is over, talk to us, bring us up to date on all the details regarding the next stop in Chappaqua. Polly and I are going to be there. We're already making our plans. We're going to sandwich Maine in between Washington, D.C. and Chappaqua. We're going to go to the Supreme Court on the 26th of June for Matrimony Day God's Way, and then proceed up to Maine for our crusade, to continue our crusade up there against the governor of Maine, another Jezebel, just like Hillary Clinton. And then we're going to be in Chappaqua that weekend. So go ahead, Jared, show that video. And then when this video is over, Matt, bring us up to speed on the details for Chappaqua in 2 weeks.
Sure thing.
There is evidence that they were extremely careless in their handling of very sensitive, highly classified information.
So I don't know what they're talking about. Yeah. I've been investigated repeatedly by...
Her aides are well aware the former president can dazzle a crowd and outshine the presidential hopeful.
Wait, you want me to tell you what my husband thinks? My husband is not the Secretary of State, I am.
The fact is, we had 4 dead Americans. Was it because of a protest, or was it because of guys out for a walk one night who decided they'd go kill some Americans? What difference at this point does it make?
So you ask my opinion, I will tell you my opinion. I'm not going to be channeling my husband.
In fact, the student had asked what President Obama thought of China's involvement in the region.
At a state fair in New Hampshire, she wouldn't even respond to a question about the apple pie and ice cream.
Senator, is it as good as in New York?
It plays into the criticism that she's scripted.
I don't know anything about these emails. I haven't followed it.
She also used her personal email extensively while outside the United States. We assess it is possible that hostile actors gained access to Secretary Clinton's personal email account.
Extreme views about women, we expect that from some of the terrorist groups. We expect that from people who don't want to live in the modern world. But it's a little hard to take coming from Republicans.
I mean, I'm living rent-free inside of Donald Trump's brain.
You could put half of Trump's supporters into what I call the basket of deplorables. The racist, sexist, homophobic, xenophobic, Islamophobic, you name it.
Now, having said all this, why aren't I 50 points ahead, you might ask?
After they set up an illegal server, destroyed evidence, deleted and acid washed 33,000 emails, exposed classified information, and turned the State Department into a pay-for-play cash machine.
Nobody should be fooled.
Amen.
That's a great video that someone produced, just showed up yesterday. We need to make sure it goes viral on social media. And Matt, kudos to you for the absolutely phenomenal work that you and Mark Trump are doing to continue the Equal Justice Tour that Coach launched all alone a month ago or so, maybe a month and a half ago or so. So I'll stop talking. Matt, bring us up to speed.
Sure. Okay. So that video right there, as at the ending of it, as you're hearing the people chant, lock her up, you hear those words of Hillary from the last debate where she said, it's a good thing somebody like Donald Trump isn't in charge. And you hear him say, yeah, because you'd be in jail. That's the goal here with the Equal Justice Tour. Now, what we're doing, Mike, is we are going to be going back to Chappaqua on July 6th and 7th. It's over some people, we didn't incorporate the 5th and that of July because some people are actually having to go to work when the 4th is on a Thursday. So we're picking the Saturday and Sunday. Saturday is going to be our main event stop. And we're also, again, we're going to be staying there on Sunday and have some things going on. We aren't at this time, Mike, ready to release all the details of what we're going to be doing yet. But trust me, it's going to be very interesting. Everybody that is going to come up, like last time, none of us got arrested. We didn't get disappeared. We weren't Arkansas-ed. No one died by suicide with two shots to the back of the head. And we're going there demanding the justice. On the website, if you can...
Matt, before you continue, let me jump in here and just affirm something that Coach was the first to see. And we need to give him the credit. We need to give Coach the credit. He was the first, I think, to see this. All of the lower level, the middle management, shall we say, in American right-wing politics had decided that it was time to move on from Jezebel Hillary Clinton. They had all decided. And you've heard Coach complaining about it on the show, that he's hearing from all these people. Coach is very well known at the middle management level of the so-called pro-family movement within evangelicalism nationally. And so they've all been writing to him and whining and saying, well, that was a year ago, and that's old news, and that's this, and that's that. And so Coach is the one. He got in his car. He felt the Holy Spirit inspired him to do it. And he drove alone, as we all know the story by now. And he did what he did. And then, of course, there was a follow-up event. And now there's going to be a third event. But here's what's changed between event number two and event number three. Donald Trump is the most powerful man probably right now in the world, not just in the United States of America. He is the most watched, he is the most influential man on the planet. Now, what did he choose to emphasize when he launched his campaign for president? He's not running against Hillary. Hillary is done. She's not a candidate for president. She's not one of the 20 nut jobs on the left who are vying to become the nominee for the Democratic Party. But yet, what did Trump do? Now, Trump doesn't have a hotline to Coach, as far as I know. I mean, they don't even know one another. Trump went after Hillary, but Coach saw it first. And so we need to amp it up. I know we've made sacrifices. We need to make more sacrifices, because this election in 2020 is the most important election in American history. Go ahead, Mark. Go ahead, Matt. Go ahead.
The other thing, while he was speaking the other night, Mike, he called for equal justice, which, right? I mean, where did that come from?
Right.
That, right? And when you hear the man saying that, when you hear our president say, we must have equal justice in the country. Wow. That's powerful stuff. That's so, you know, you coach had also played the prayer earlier that Paula had done. You know, tell me that the Holy Spirit isn't moving here, Mike. Tell me that.
Oh, this is huge. This is a change in the aesthetics of politics in America, in the art of politics. This is a change in the art of politics. That's what I saw in that prayer by Paula White. And Donald Trump is a master of theater. Obviously, he did the show before, whatever that thing Apprentice was called. He's got his. He gets the aesthetics of politics, and he Paula White, in addition to offering a meaningful prayer to in the name of Jesus Christ over and over and over again, she is tapping into a fundamentally essential aesthetic of evangelical Christianity with respect to Donald Trump's reelection chances. So, what we're watching here is supremely important, and we're right in the middle of it. I believe it when Coach says he's hearing through back channels that they're following the Equal Justice Tour website, which, Jared, you need to bring up now. And, you know, here's one other thing, Matt, before you continue. You know, a lot of the left-wingers are going to be looking at this now and saying, oh, this is collusion. There's a lot of money behind this. This is like, you know, this is part of the Trump reelection campaign. Right. No.
Yeah. Yeah.
No. Just, yeah. Yeah. Hey, Matt. We're gonna double your salary. Okay.
Awesome. I'm excited about that, Mike, because George Soros still hasn't called me back. I've been calling and asking George. We gotta have some money, and my phone hasn't rang.
Hey, Michael.
Yeah, Roger.
That's a quick question. And I'm not sure if I'm able to participate on this one coming up, but how important are numbers showing up on something like this? I'm going to assume if you have 5 people only, that's not good. I'm going to assume if you have 35, that is good. How important are numbers this go round?
Well, that's a great question, Roger, and I'm going to give you my opinion. My opinion is that numbers have never mattered as much as we think they do. What I mean by that is, Coach has taught us a lot. He'll show up at abortion clinics, whatever, all by himself. And then if somebody comes and attacks him for not having big numbers at the abortion mill or whatever, he just immediately switches to, well, it's the church's fault. You know, the reason there aren't numbers here is because Christianity isn't doing its job. And you know why that works for Coach? Because it's true. and everybody knows it. So I almost feel like the July thing could have one person there, Coach alone. That ain't going to happen, because I know Polly and I are going to be there. And if the three of us say, you know why nobody's here? And you know why Donald Trump himself is going after Hillary and nobody's here? It's because the church isn't here. It's because Christianity is failing the United States of America. It's because the priests and the pastors aren't doing their job. So that's my opinion. I don't know if I'm absolutely right about that, but I've played the numbers game my whole political life, so I know what it means. I know I understand your question, and I'm seeing something change in politics. And Coach is on the vanguard of the change, as is Donald Trump. And so that's my thought on it.
Let me follow up for a second. I think of the 2 million that took to the streets in Hong Kong recently to stop an issue with China. I think there the numbers were key. If three people would have shown up, wouldn't have done anything. So
right.
I think there's a balance, and I think it's probably per issue. I wouldn't go across the board that numbers don't count. It
right.
might be less, maybe it's more per event or what you're looking at. I think when the Holy Spirit's truly involved, one person can do it. Mm-hmm. But I guess my point is we do want to have a decent showing in the next
yes.
event. I think,
yes.
you know, the Hagmans and the others, if they're watching, the numbers may not mean nothing to you, but to the White House, if you have five people there, it mm-hmm. may mean something to the White House that, hey, we've got to move on to a different group that's got more support and so forth. They won't understand maybe the Holy Spirit side of it, or, you know, they may not yep. understand all that.
Well, good point. Good point. Go ahead.
The left understands. See, this is the third event now. And so the left has something they can look back historically and see who was there and how many were there at the second event. And if the numbers do not substantially increase from the second event, the left is going to make heyday out of the reduced numbers. That's just the way they operate. They're not
but,
stupid. They will say,
yep.
no.
Yep. And I say, and I say, bring it on. And this is why I say that, because I noticed on social media that the left was playing up the fact that some kind of poll was released that put Joe Biden at 58% and Donald Trump at 48% or whatever. And then it was on the same day as the Donald Trump rally where he had 20,000 people show up. And the little meme that I saw showed, you know, had the polling that showed Donald Trump losing, and behind it were two images. One image was the 20,000 people at Donald Trump's stadium event, and the other was Joe Biden's rally. I don't know if it was on the same day, but there were like 50 people there. 50 people there. And my point is that Americans are lying to pollsters in record numbers. Polls cannot be trusted. We know that polling and the left wing media is not trusted. So if Larry, if the left wing media attacks us because our numbers don't impress them in this changing political dynamic that I'm talking about, it's almost like that helps you. It's with your base. I think Trump understands this really well and uses it brilliantly. Matt, you need to come back in here, and we need to throw the website. We need to throw the website up and give us some more details, because there's lots of stuff you can do, even if you can't make it, folks. There's lots of stuff you can do at the website, but you need to make it. Roger's point is right. Larry's point is right. The best thing we can do is double our numbers. We had 50 people at the last one. We it would be really great if we had 100 people or more. I mean, we should have 1 million people, right? We should be able to beat the Chinese on this and have 2 million people there, because this issue is that serious. But Matt, go ahead and bring us up to speed on the website.
Sure. Okay. And that this issue is that easy, Mike, where everybody should know that what we're calling for is it's basically the heart and soul of the country. If we don't have justice with Hillary, we have nothing. We have nothing anywhere. And if people don't come out and support this and show up, there's people that are 50 miles away that are probably hearing us right now. They can get in their car and come. We need 150 people to show up this time. That's what we need to do to be successful for boots on the ground. Now, the website, under updates, we have a what's called a phone campaign going on here. And it's I can't see if Jared's on the site because I'm on the phone, Mike. If Jared's there, okay. You're going to see a picture of Rand Paul and Hillary Clinton. If you click on the phone campaign, that's going to come up. And what this is, There were 11 Congress members last year at this time that had called for a second counsel or a special counsel investigation, which I don't believe that we need, because we've already given the evidence that James Comey gave us saying that Hillary committed crimes. So these 11 congressmen are calling for a special counsel and the arrest of Hillary Clinton. Now, what we've done under this particular tab on the website is came up with a suggested phone script. And what it is, and we also have all the members of Congress that were involved in that, and the one standalone senator who's Rand Paul. Rand Paul has called for this by himself. He's the only senator in the U.S. Senate that is actually saying the same thing. And what the, let's see, we have, that's the senators, all the congressmen, Mark Meadows from North Carolina. So people in North Carolina call Mark Meadows, and other people outside of North Carolina can call the office too. Okay. Then we have Jim Jordan in Ohio. Obviously we have a base, you know, coaches in Ohio, and there's other men here in the queue and other people that are in Ohio. We need to call him. We need to call Lee Zeldin, who's a Republican out of New York, who actually stood up for this. He's in Hillary's backyard. Andy Biggs out of Arizona. Okay. All of these people's contact information is listed under the phone campaign. Jeff Duncan from South Carolina. We got Paul Gozier from Arizona. Andy Harris from Maryland. Jody Heiss from Georgia. Ted Yeo. How do you say that, Mike? Yoho,
I guess.
Okay, Yoho from Florida. And David Rue, and he is North Carolina. We got Louis Gohmert out of Texas. Okay, and then the one standalone U.S. Senator is Rand Paul. What we're asking people to do is, hey, you know, just any number of them or all of them, take the time to call their offices. And what we want to do is, let's see, let me go back up here a little bit. Suggested phone script. When calling Senator Paul or Congressman saying, hello, how are you today? And obviously, you know, you respond accordingly. My name is Matt Siskevich, and I'm calling in regarding the resolution that Louis Gohmert sponsored in May of 2018, calling for the appointment of a special counsel to investigate the handling of the Hillary Clinton email investigation. I represent a group of patriots for justice. We are extremely concerned that justice is not being applied equally in our country. The Constitution guarantees equal justice for all. On July 5th, 2016, former FBI Director James Comey outlined many felonies committed by Hillary. It is unacceptable that to this day she continues to avoid accountability for these serious crimes. America has seen this evidence, and America needs to see equal justice restored. The Patriots for Justice have launched the Equal Justice Tour to reestablish the rule of law in our nation. I'm hoping you can help me by answering a few brief questions. Who in your office may I contact to send information about the Equal Justice Tour and video from our First Amendment event in Chappaqua, New York? The second question, are there any updates on the call for a second special counsel or the criminal referrals of Hillary Clinton sent to the Department of Justice in April of 2018? And, well, the last question, what active steps is your office taking in order to restore equal justice under the rule of law according to the Constitution? Okay, and then see if you can get an email address. And if they say, well, you can talk to me, well, they're probably just somebody that's in the office that's there on an internship. Say, no, I'm sorry, I need somebody in the office that's going to get the congressman's ear or the congressman themselves or even Rand Paul saying, you know, getting the senator's ear. And what we have is to the right of that on the site, are, number one, it's the link for the Equal Justice Tour website, the Memorial Day event, via a BitChute video in Chappaqua, the May 2018 Second Special Counsel Press Conference that was held by, I think it was 11 or 19 Congress members. And then the last thing is going to be the May 2018 Second Special Counsel Resolution, okay? Because there was an 8-page document that they had written up requesting this stuff. And what we need to do is hammer these people's phones, make them ring, bring this information to them, and put pressure on them, find out if they want to work with us or if they were possibly shut down and told, go sit in the corner and don't say anything. So there you are, Mike. How's that?
All right, Matt. Great. Thanks for getting into all that detail. And we're out of time for today, but we're going to be back tomorrow again on Friday morning. Coach will be with us all the way from the left coast. And so you're not going to want to miss the show as we build toward the third outing in Chappaqua to call for equal justice for all and to remind people of just exactly what this Jezebel spirit is doing to the nation that we love, the United States of America. So thanks for tuning in to Coach Dave Live today. My name's Mike Heath, and we're thrilled that you're praying for us. But more importantly, we get really thrilled when you do something about what you're praying for.